If there was anyone who could be saved by what they did, it would have been Paul. But as Skip Heitzig reminds us, even Paul's religious heritage wasn't enough.
A lot of people, perhaps even some of you, look back to your early heritage and you lean on a ritual. I was baptized. I was christened. I was confirmed. Understand something about Paul, and he's making the point clear. Paul was very devoutly spiritual and very religious, but he was very unsaved.
Make the connection at the foot of the cross. Study the Word of God and find the way into His love. And take the time to read, for Jesus told to bleed for our sins. Whoa, whoa.
One of the most recognizable poems by Robert Frost talks about two roads in a wood. The famous line most of us know reads, "Two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the road less traveled by, and that has made all the difference." The Apostle Paul is a man who could say he traveled both roads in his life, and we'll examine his journey today here on The Connection with Skip Heitzig. And we'll get started with today's study in just a moment. But first, if you've never given us a call or sent us a letter, today's the day to do that, because we'll send you a free teaching from Skip Heitzig. Get your free teaching called The Dark Side of God when you call us at 1-800-922-1888 and tell us it's your first time to do so. Or when you write to us at P.O. Box 95707, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87199. It's a free teaching from Skip just for contacting us for the first time. So call today, 1-800-922-1888. Well, if there's anyone who can testify that the road less traveled made all the difference, it would be Paul. In our own journeys through life, we'll eventually have a choice of which road to follow. So it might be a good idea to learn from someone who's experienced them both. Let's do that in today's study.
And make the connection.
We'll be in Acts chapter 21 and Philippians chapter 3 today. So mark your Bibles and let's join Skip Heitzig.
God takes all of the stuff of the past, good and bad, and can weave it together and make something great out of it. Example is Joseph. Talk about a kid who had baggage. He had a bad upbringing. His brothers hated him. They sold him into Egypt as a slave. And while he was in Egypt, things went from bad to worse. He was misjudged. He was slandered. He went into prison. But eventually God turned the story around, so much so that when he had his firstborn child in Egypt, you know what Joseph called him? Ephraim. It means fruitful. He said, "I'm going to call him fruitful because God has made me fruitful in the land of my affliction." All of the past, all of the stuff, all of the sin, God has used it for this. A few years later, when his brothers come to Egypt for food, and they find out Joseph knows who they are, they get very skittish, thinking, uh-oh, time's up, we're toast. Remember what Joseph said to them? He said, "Listen. You meant this for evil, but God meant it for good to save many people alive as it is this day." That's the providence of God taking all of that mess, all of that background, all of that culture, and weaving it into a beautiful tapestry. So that's his secular background. Now we want to look at his spiritual profile. Did you notice in both of the cases that Paul addresses either the commander or the crowd, he introduces himself as, "I am indeed a Jew." He didn't say, "I want you to know, I am a Christian preacher." In fact, as I read the Bible, Paul didn't call himself a Christian. Because you probably know that the term then was a derisive term. It wasn't a good term. So Paul introduced himself as, "I'm a Jew." And he never ceased being Jewish. That was his culture. That was his background. Over and over again, you'll read in the book of Acts, and Paul went to the synagogue as was his custom. That was the cultural, spiritual center. Why am I saying that? Because I want you to understand something, that Christianity is not some Western religion, as I hear it called by some Gentile brand. It is Messianic Judaism, where God has extended the net to everyone. In Romans, Paul will say this, you're a wild olive branch grafted in to the tree of Judaism. So Paul says, I'm Jewish, and he received the Jewish Messiah. Well, turn with me to Philippians chapter 3, and let's look at what he says about his spiritual upbringing. Now, you got to understand a little bit about this chapter. Paul has some enemies, and his enemies are attacking him. And every time that happens, Paul finds himself in a weird position of having to defend himself. He doesn't want to, but he does a couple of times in the New Testament. Here's one of them. Verse 4, Philippians 3. Though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks that he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. So now he's going to begin. And this really isn't his testimony as much as his bragamony. He's going to brag about his pedigree, his spiritual profile. I was circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews. Concerning the law, I was a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church. Concerning righteousness, which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed, I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. He takes us back to 8 days after his birth. I was circumcised on the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin. In other words, I'm not a Jewish convert. I'm a Jew by birth. I'm a Jew by covenant. I'm a Jew by ritual. This was part of my original heritage. And understand something. Paul was proud of that heritage, especially early on in his life. If you go to Jerusalem today, the tour guides like to say things like, go ahead, walk up to the Western Wall and pray right there at the Western Wall. Even though they say God will hear prayers all over the world, here it's a local call. They love to say that. They want you to know, hey, this is God's town, man. This is where he hangs out. This is where the temple once stood. And Paul proudly leaned on the heritage of being circumcised, that ritual of every male Jewish baby. And you know what? A lot of people, perhaps even some of you, look back to your early heritage and you lean on a ritual. I was baptized. I was christened. I was confirmed. Understand something about Paul. And he's making the point clear. Paul was very devoutly spiritual and very religious, but he was very unsaved. He was very unsaved, very devout, very spiritual, very religious, but he was unsaved to his own admission. He says that he was a Hebrew of the Hebrews in the same passage. Or, better translation, I was a Hebrew born of Hebrew parents. I was Greco-Roman in my culture and citizenship, but very Jewish in my upbringing. A Hebrew of the Hebrews. I kept the traditional Hebrew culture. So, though I had a Greco-Roman profile, he would say, I made sure that I was never tainted with the values or the temptations of the Greek culture. The synagogue he went to would speak Hebrew and Aramaic, not Greek. He was a purist. Now, let me help you understand what it was like to see him grow up. You ready? While he was a toddler, he was already learning the Shema, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 9. As a toddler, he was taught to memorize it. And he had to recite it back to the Hazan, the ruler of the synagogue. So picture little toddler Saul saying in that cute little voice, Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. That's just the first verse of several. A little toddler had to say that. And the Hazan made sure that he said it with the right rhythm, cadence, emphasis, cha, in all the different words. All of that had to be perfect. That's a toddler. By the time he was 5 years old, little Shaul had to memorize the Hallel. That's six psalms, Psalm 113 to Psalm 118. It's the psalms that are sung every Passover. Five-year-old, he had to memorize them. At age 6, he was taken to the synagogue where he learned to read and write in the Hebrew script. At age 10, he was already studying the oral law, the Mishnah, the tradition of the fathers. At age 13, 12 or 13 back then, he was given the status as an adult member of the Jewish community. He was made a bar mitzvah, a son of the commandment. By that time, he had mastered Jewish history. He was able to wrap his hand and his forehead in the phylacteries, the tefillin, the prayer boxes, every morning for his devotions. Okay, now, when he's 15 years old, picture your 15-year-old boy or girl. At age 15, he enters into a rigorous study of the codified oral law, the multi-volume set, the Talmud. Okay, that's 15 years of age. Now he's ready for serious study. Now, at that point in his life, they ship him off to Jerusalem for deep rabbinical study for about 5 or 6 years. Notice what he says in this profile. He says that he was a Pharisee. Now, you've read the New Testament. So you see that and go, I wouldn't brag about that. I know what a Pharisee is. I read what Jesus said about these characters. Every time Jesus mentions them, he says, you hypocrites, you whitewashed sepulchers. However, Pharisees originally were not like that. Originally, Pharisees were the most devout Bible readers, Bible students in Judaism. You see, the word Pharisee, parashim, means the separated ones. They basically said, look, we don't want to go into captivity again. We're going to keep the law, study the law, do it with all of our heart, be separated totally unto God. That was Saul of Tarsus, a Pharisee. As a Pharisee, he was mentored, Acts 22 tells us, by a famous guy named Gamaliel. Now, Gamaliel, or as they call him, Gamliel, was the grandson of, I'm going to call him the MVP of Judaism, Hillel, the famous rabbi who is written about everywhere in Judaism. The grandson was Gamaliel, and Gamaliel taught Saul, Shaul, mentored him. Gamaliel was so famous that even the Talmud said when he died, the glory of the law passed away, because he was such an articulate, incredible teacher. Now, while he was under Gamaliel, he would learn from this mentor every day. And I'll tell you why I'm going into detail here. It's when you understand his training with Gamaliel that you understand why Saul of Tarsus was so angry and hateful toward Christians and decided, I'm going to go out and find him and arrest him. Because Gamaliel, his mentor, a contemporary during the time of Jesus Christ in Jerusalem, saw the growth of the Christian church in Jerusalem, and Gamaliel wrote a very famous prayer condemning the Christian heretics. Let me read it to you, a portion of it. Let there be no hope to them who apostatize from the true religion, Judaism, and let these heretics, how many soever they be, all perish in a moment. That was the mentor of Saul of Tarsus. No wonder he turned to be so vitriolic. Well, during this time, he was memorizing great sections of the Old Testament, huge portions of Jeremiah and Isaiah, which would prove helpful later on when he wrote letters to Rome and Galatia. He also learned a very specific way of communicating with his mentor. A question and answer debate forum, known in the ancient world as the diatribe. This would hone his debate skills, his rhetorical skills, so that later on he could stand before Athens, stand in synagogues, and articulate with great depth the truths of his faith. Also in verse 6, he tells us about his spiritual zeal. Concerning zeal, I persecuted the church. In other words, I was so zealous and sold out to Judaism that I'd arrest and kill people who weren't. That's how into it I was. Look at his spiritual practice. Concerning righteousness, which is in the law, I was blameless. That's quite a statement. I don't know if you understand how impacting that statement is. I've never met anyone who could say that. Concerning righteousness, if you want to say, I want to find a guy who keeps all the laws, the Ten Commandments, the Old Testament, and the oral law, who's blameless. Paul says, that would be me. Incredible. Here's a guy who could say, if anybody deserved to be saved, deserved heaven, it would be me. Boy, that's dangerous thinking. I wonder if some of you think you deserve to go to heaven. I know I don't. I know that it's all by God's grace. I talked yesterday to Franklin Graham. He told me about a politician he was speaking with who may run in a couple years for presidency. I won't mention who it is. But the guy said he was a Christian. Well, you ever tell that to Franklin Graham, he's going to find out. You make sure you know what that means. So Frank goes, well, how do you know you're going to go to heaven? That was my Franklin imitation. All right. The guy said, well, I'll tell you what. When I'm up there, if I get up there and God says, why should you enter in? I'm going to say, I married an angel. She's a beautiful, wonderful woman. We raised several great children. They married well. They're wonderful people. So I'm going to point to my family and say, that's why I deserve to get into heaven. Now, that was Paul's thinking. I did it all. I earned it all. I deserve to get in. Well, Paul's about to make a very important point as we close. You can have enough morality to keep you out of trouble, but not enough righteousness to get you into heaven. How do I know that? Because of verse 7. Verse 7 is our third and final point. We'll just briefly touch on it and we'll close. This is his salvation profile. Notice what he says after his bragamony. This is who I was. This is what I accomplished. He says, but. In other words, there's a change that happened to me. There was a time I turned from caterpillar into butterfly. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet, indeed, I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ. What things does he mean when he says, these things I count as loss? What are they? All the things he talked about just in the previous verse. Circumcised the eighth day, stock of Israel, tribe of Benjamin, Pharisee, etc. All of these things, which are not bad in themselves, just not good enough to get me saved, I've counted as loss, that I might know Christ. Your baptism, your christening, your confirmation, your first communion, your church membership, all those things are good things, but they are not good enough to get you into heaven. Understand, that's his point. Now listen carefully. A good thing can become a bad thing if it keeps you from the best thing. So even a man's religion can damn his soul forever if he tries to use that as a substitute for simple trust in Jesus Christ alone. Now, Paul makes a very important point, verse 7 and 8. Verse 7, he says, I counted these things lost. That's past tense. Verse 8, yet indeed I also count. That's present tense. Now listen to this. Paul wrote Philippians 30 years after his conversion. This is what he's saying. I made a choice 30 years ago. I don't regret that choice. The choice I made back then, I still make today. And all the things that were part of my profile that I trusted to get me favor with God and get me into heaven, I count them as rubbish. You see that word, rubbish? Now, I'm going to tell you something that's not very polite, but it's in the Bible, okay? You ready? The Greek word for rubbish is a very, well, it's a guttural word. It literally, it's skubala in Greek. It means the excrement of animals. It's the stuff that owners would brush out of the stall because it stinks. So think about what Paul is saying. I made a choice 30 years ago to follow Christ and not trust in my own religion. It's the same choice I still make because for me to trust in anything else stinks. John Dyer said this, a man can go to heaven without riches. A man can go to heaven without honor. A man may go to heaven without learning. A man may go to heaven without friends, but he will never go to heaven without Jesus Christ. I applaud whatever background, whatever spiritual training, whatever education you have, but if you are resting in that for salvation, you need a transformation. You need a spiritual and a salvation profile, because with Paul, they were not the same. Okay, I started this morning with a story about a caterpillar. Allow me to end with another one. There was these two caterpillars, and they're walking through the grass together. And they're enjoying fuzzy, furry fellowship. And as they're walking through the grass, as caterpillars, they look up in the sky, and they see this butterfly. And one nudges his furry friend and says, you could never get me up in one of those things for $1 million. Truth is, that's his destiny. Some people will look at the gospel and look at followers of Christ and say, I'd never be one of them in 1 million years. All right? Stay a crusty old caterpillar. Or follow the destiny that God would have and want for you to be transformed, totally changed by His glory.
You know, most people don't like change, but sometimes it's good. In fact, change, when it comes from Christ, is one of the best things we can experience in life. I hope you'll choose to experience that change today. Find out how when you click on the Know God link at connectionradio.org. And that's just about all the time we have for today. In just a moment, I'll tell you how you can order a copy of today's teaching. But before we get to that, there's no denying that media has a huge impact on us all, and especially on our kids. But is it anything to be worried about? Here's one resource to help you find some answers to that.
How far and how fast has America fallen? Have we learned any lessons from the past? The kings of Israel led their nation into evil and idolatry with inevitable consequences. Our country is in death spiral, and media is doing everything to accelerate the decline.
Kids are desperate for answers today, and they're looking in all the wrong places.
Your family can combat the onslaught of evil, but you need to be informed. You can take practical steps. Shattered is a new full-length video documentary hosted by Skip Heitzig.
Evil has never had more allies in the media than now, but God's grace can shatter every deception and reveal the truth about Jesus Christ.
Shattered puts the bright light of truth on the dark world of music, media, and gaming.
The parent has to understand their kids are being raised in the United States of entertainment.
Available at shatteredthedvd.com or call 1-800-922-1888. Shattered. Available now from Connection Communications.
Now, while you take some time to contemplate ordering that powerful new documentary, don't forget that you can also pick up a copy of today's teaching. Just call 1-800-922-1888 for a copy of today's teaching on CD for just $6. Or you can order from our website at connectionradio.org. We also love receiving letters from our listeners. So if you'd like to write us, our mailing address is P.O. Box 95707, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87199. Plus, if you contact us for the first time today, we'll send you that free bonus teaching from Skip. We look forward to hearing from you, and thank you for spending some of your time with us today as we follow Paul's long road to Rome.
And make the connection at the foot of the cross. And study the Word of God and find the way into His love. Make the connection.
Next time on The Connection, we'll continue to explore Paul's journey towards Rome as he sets out on a vendetta that ends very differently than he imagined. The Connection is a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.